Louder, he says. Okay. Did I ask you how you're doing already? It's not in my notes. Something real, real simple. Real basic, but real encouraging tonight. If you're a believer, if you love the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, hopefully this will just encourage the socks off of you to go through another week. If you're not, this should just put fear in you. If you're not a Christian, if you're not walking with the Lord, then before you leave this place tonight, you need to get right with God. And hopefully that's what this word will encourage you to do. I had to swallow my gum. Whoever heard that it's in your stomach for 7 years, that's not true. It digests faster than regular food. Just a little tidbit for you. It's a fact. I'm going to read a lot of scripture. I'm actually going to read almost a whole chapter. And we're going to do things a little bit differently because I really want you to key in on what I'm reading. Okay? Because that's basically the whole purpose of the message tonight. My message is called, It Will Be Worth It All. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. Lord Jesus, I come to you by your own blood and by your own name. And God, I just invite you in this place. I invite you in this cracked vessel, Lord, to fill me up and pour out, God. Not none of me, but all of Jesus, Father. God, I ask you to give me unction, to give me zeal, God, to touch the intonations of my voice, God. Just make me eloquent in order for your word to be exalted and lifted up. Let me be clear. Let me be concise, God. Let everything be one fluid thought of your spirit, one fluid thought and one purpose, Lord. Don't let me get sidetracked, but Father, let me be focused on your word and the message and in context of what you want us to hear. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for it is power and it's life, and God, it can encourage us and give us strength in time of need, Lord. And Father, I give it all into your hands. I just commit it all to you, Lord. And just exalt it for your own glory, Lord. Not so anybody can be seen or heard other than you, Lord. And let it go deep and let seeds be planted deep in the hearts of your people so that it can grow and produce 30, 60, 100-fold, God, fruit that we would be fit for the Master's use. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what I'm going to have you do, I'll watch out for you. I'm going to have you all close your eyes. I'll watch out for you. I'm a police officer. Nobody's going to hurt you, but you're going to have your eyes shut for a little while, okay? Because I'm going to read something to you, and I want you to picture it. I want you to see it. So go ahead and everybody shut your eyes. If you have kids, I understand, you know, that's the way it is. But close your eyes, and I want you to just focus and listen to what I'm going to read, okay? Use your mind's eye. Picture it. Imagine what's happening. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one standing on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. There was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne there were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices, seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second creature like a calf, the third living creature had the face of a man, the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, which having six wings, full of eyes around and within, they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is, and who is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, and they say, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Now I saw a new heaven, and I saw a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people, and He Himself, God, will be with them, and He'll be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said to me, "Write, for these things and these words are true and they're faithful." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls with the seven last plagues came to me, and he talked with me, and he said, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me a great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, and it was clear like crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, 12 angels at the gates, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. The three gates, there was one on the east, there was three on the north, there's three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb of God. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city and its gates and its walls. And the city's laid out on a square. Its length is great, and its breadth. And he measured the city. And with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, its length, its breadth, its height are all equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of this wall was of jasper. The city was of pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was of jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth was sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth was beryl, the ninth was topaz, the tenth was chrysophase, the 11th was jacinth, and the 12th was amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need for a sun or a moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And there shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can open your eyes. It's time that we start looking at things in perspective in the day and age we live in. Remember where you're going. Remember what you were promised. Think on what's prepared for you. Think of what's eternal. Think about what's truly important. I've been thinking about this for the past weeks, and when I get down or despondent or I start to, you know, just get so fed up with this world, because I'll tell you, I get fed up with this world a lot and the people therein. But I just, this past few weeks, felt the Lord just speaking to me, saying it'll be worth it all. Just keep it in perspective. Just think about what's prepared for you. Think about what I have for you. Keep everything you do in focus. And fortunately, there's no words, there's no superlatives, there's no descriptions or comparisons that I can give you or describe heaven and the beauty of our inevitable home. I can't use the English language to describe it to you. There are no words to try to convey to you what it's going to be like in eternity, to what you'll feel, to what you'll experience. And I know lots of examples, and but I can't describe it to you. I can't woo you enough and wow you enough to make you crave heaven the way we should. And it's all in perspective. We're here, and we're here for a purpose, and we're here for a goal. And God wants to use us. But man, we're supposed to be eternally minded, right? And this is not my home. It's not my home. Oh man, and my home is so much better. It's so much better than here. It's far beyond my comprehension. It is high. I can't attain it. It's high above your small experience, heaven. What you've experienced here and what you've gone through. It transcends your very imagination. You can't imagine it. We've given, I have an imagination, you know. I'm listening to Pastor Mark preach, and sometimes there's ninjas doing backflips off the stage. I have an imagination, you know. Sometimes I'm rationalizing how I'm going to stop the nuclear bomb that's going to hit the church, you know. Your mind wanders. I have an imagination. But I can't begin to comprehend what heaven's going to be like. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So the only revelation, the only example of heaven that I have is what God begins to reveal to my spirit. He begins to speak to me. The things I experience in the prayer closet in His presence, He starts to reveal and give you just a little light, little revelation of, inkling of what's to come. But it says here that it hasn't entered into your heart. You can't even imagine. I can't remember if it was Pastor Mark one time, but I heard a pastor say, you know, if you can imagine it, it probably won't be there. Because then you won't be satisfied. It'll be more than you can imagine, more than what you've comprehended, and it will be worth it all. Tonight, it's all about you having the right perspective in the light of anything you're going through. Whatever trial, finances, it really doesn't matter. And I don't say that being calloused or indifferent to your situation, but in the light of what I just read, does it really matter? It doesn't matter. Stray bullet, take me out tomorrow. Oh well. I go home. I got life insurance. Both kinds. These temporal things, this pulpit I'm touching, these earthly things, they're going to pass away. Moreover, they're going to rot, and they're going to decay. Things will fail. They'll fail you. Things break. Relationships fail. Things fail. In heaven, all things are new, and there nothing will ever pass away. Everything in heaven will be eternal. It'll be for forever. When I talk to you there, it'll be for forever. I won't say bye. Bye is pagan. We say it all the time to people. That's a pagan saying. I don't say bye to you. I'm going to be with you forever. You're not going to get sick of me either, because I won't be like I am now. It's true. Who said praise God? Our eyes will finally be opened. All your senses will be unlocked. You're bound in this body. You're bound by this earth. You're limited. It'll just be like God put the key in. He unlocks it all. This is an example that I heard Pastor Carter Conlon say one time. Imagine you're deaf, you're blind, you're mute. You can't taste and you can't smell. You have no senses whatsoever. You're led around by your hand your whole life. You've never seen trees. You've never tasted food. You've never heard cars. You've never heard the birds. You've heard the ocean. You've never seen it. And somebody takes you to the top of the highest building in New York City and opens up all your senses. And you're standing at a pinnacle. And your eyes open, your ears open. You can taste, you can smell. That's just a small example of what it's going to be like when you get to heaven. Everything opens up. Everything becomes real. This is not reality. This is not reality compared to heaven, people. This is 75 years, if you're lucky. It's gone. You're dead. You're gone. There's appointed to a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Praise the Lord. I don't want to stay here. I told my wife 100 times, I don't want to die of old age. I don't want to live here that long. But when you start to think of heaven, start to meditate on it, and you start to think about, that's my inevitable home, that's what I've been promised, He's been preparing it for 2009 years for me. It begins to get a little dim here. The things we put all our focus and time and energy in begin to get a little negligible compared to glory. I'm going to get excited. It will be revealed. Beloved, we're children of God, and it's not been revealed yet what we shall be. But we know that when He shall be revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. That's going to be a marvelous day when you see Him as He is. I tell you, everybody around you is going to melt away. You're not going to be thinking about your buddies or your wife or your spouse. When you see Him, it's going to be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. All that we think we possess or love to own, it'll pass away. All you think that's tough and troublesome and hard and calling for sacrifice and denial and suffering here, it's all just going to pass away when you wake up from this dream. And it will be worth it all. I'm going to say it a lot of times tonight. It's going to be worth it all. It'll be worth everything you're going through. It'll be worth every trial, every temptation, everything you forbear, all your financial problems, all your problems with your kids, all your problems at work, all your problems at school. You won't be thinking about those anymore. I was thinking, I'm not going to get there and be like, man, I wish I had a Mercedes. I don't even know if we'll remember that word. I don't even think we'll think about cars. I don't even think we'll be able to. That's not the point. Man, this could be great. Think about seeing Christ, seeing Him. There'll be no excuses. There'll be no ifs, ands, or buts when you see Him. And it goes on and on. In all His glory, in all His perfection, all that's not for His glory here, everything not done for His glory here will be done here. It'll pass away here. But it'll be worth it all when you see Him in all His perfection. When you're perfected in your glorified body, a body that I don't understand. I've read the Scriptures trying to understand different limitations and I don't really get it. But it's going to be amazing. It's going to be something. Fellowship that's pure. My fellowship with you is still tainted. It hasn't been unlocked yet. You see what I'm saying? I still have things in my heart. There's still issues. I still have my flesh. I still have parts of me that, you know, I'm still selfish. When I talk with you and talk with me, there's still this flesh that tries to stifle our fellowship and our communion as believers, our relationship. That's all going to pass away. My fellowship with you, my communion with you in heaven will be pure, undefiled, unblemished. It's a revelation I don't understand. The only thing I can compare it to or begin to fathom what it was like was I was in Bible school and we were all focused on the same goal, the same purpose, and we lived in close quarters and it was wonderful. You always talked about the Lord. You were always singing songs. You were always talking about what the Lord showed you. Look what the Lord showed me in His Word today. He gave me revelation about this. Or He enlightened this scripture. Let me show you what He showed me. Let me talk to you about the Lord. I had a dream last night where God spoke to me. I mean, that's all we ever talked about. And you were constantly walking on this cloud nine. It was always about the Lord. And it was always fellowship. And it was always singing and, you know, teach me something on the guitar. You know, it was always fellowship. And even that was in the confines of this world and our flesh and our earthly bodies and the way our minds think that's tainted. And we don't have the intellect that we're going to have there. And when we get there, it's just all going to be unstopped. We'll be set free, completely and totally set free from this body. You're free now. But look at yourself. You're still in this body. You still deal with things on a daily basis to be set free from all the confines of this world. All your tears will be wiped away. That's a big one for me. There's nothing in you that defiles. That's my favorite. I won't even be able to think about sin. It won't be a part of my makeup. I won't be made that way. I won't be able to think ill of you or you about me. It won't be possible. I won't even be able to think about how to think about being sinful. It won't be possible. And I think one of the biggest reasons it won't be possible is because when you see Him, I've never seen Him. When you see Him, you're going to be like, oh, that's it. It was worth it all. It all passes away. It's all gone. It's a new heaven. It's a new earth. I'm a new creation. It's a new life. I get a new body. Nothing that defiles. Unblemished. Perfection. There will be no night there. A lot of bad things happen at night. There will be no night there. It will never be dark. And the light will emanate from our Father God. There will be a never-ending chorus. The singing, the praise, the worship won't stop. And you'll never get tired of singing. You'll never get tired of worshiping and praising. You won't ever get tired. You'll never have to stay up all night. You will never be tired. You will never get fed up with the job God assigns you, that you're given, your function in heaven. That's a whole other teaching. The worship. I was asking my wife the other day, will we be able to go to other planets? Will I be able to go to other galaxies? Says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. It doesn't say there's not going to be heaven, not going to be an earth. It's going to be different. It's going to be new. This whole earth we see is going to pass away. God made those planets and stars for a reason. Are they going to pass away? We'll find out. If they don't, I'm going to go see them. Because it's all His creation. It's all going to shout His glory and His praise. It's all going to worship Him. There will be nothing there that doesn't bend the knee to Him. And their one goal and focus and aim is Christ Jesus all the time. Talk about fellowship and communion. Talk about having the same vision. That'll be the same vision. He's there. Things here just aren't important when you think about it that way. I start thinking about my finances sometimes. Oh God, you have another kid. Diapers. Lord, the gas prices. Father, bring them down. And I just feel the Holy Spirit just whisper in my heart sometimes, it's going to be worth it all, kid. Don't worry about it. It's a short time. As fast as it takes you to breathe in and breathe out, and that vapor that leaves your mouth, that's life. It's gone. How will you be judged? What happens here? That's why it's important to keep it in perspective. Because if you have heaven and eternity in perspective, if you have dwelling and living with Christ for all eternity and in His presence constantly in your mind's eye and in perspective, it's going to affect how you live. Everything you do is going to be conducted on that plane. I'm going to want to speak heavenly minded because I know where I'm going. And I wrote in my notes, this is later, but hope fills me with hope. I don't deal with those thoughts that other people deal with when it comes to despair. I've dealt with depression before. I know what depression's like before I was saved. I went through bouts of depression, deep depression. I know what that's like. But man, when I think about glory and heaven and going home, hope fills my heart. Expectancy and joy. It just makes you want to spit in the devil's face. You throw whatever you got at me, because on this side, it really doesn't matter. As long as I come out okay. As long as I keep the faith in the fire, there'll be nothing that defiles. Before I tell you what's not important or heaven-like, I want to tell you what is important, what is heaven-like here. Think, what can be compared to the perfection and beauty of heaven here? What do we have here that's a part of our experience that's going to be there? Hardly anything. But there are a few things here, tastes of the fullness there. I thought of a few things that here we experience and we go through that are going to be translated into heaven, that aren't going to pass away. And they're all eternal. They're all eternal things, and they're going to go with us. The first is Christian fellowship and relationship bound through the blood of Christ. My relationship with you, I'm not going to forget Michelle when we get to heaven. I'm not going to forget my wife when I get to heaven. Because we have an eternal relationship right now. Right now, our relationship is based on Christ. Things that are founded on Him for His glory are going to translate into heaven because they're eternal. They don't stop. Your wonderful relationship with brothers and sisters in the Lord will not pass away. The times me and you shared of mutual love or in church or worship or just conversation, those things will not pass away till we get home. The feeling of closeness that's from the Lord when you're in a like-minded relationship, you start, you know, babbling about the Lord and you both start just getting into the Word. Those kind of relationships, those feelings won't pass away. They're going to continue into eternity. Because though that relationship and those feelings are based upon nothing but the Word and the Lord. He gives those. Those are from Him. So they won't pass away. We will continue in that blessed relationship in heaven. However, it will be intensified a bajillion times. You can't understand it. But when we get there, that relationship we have is just going to intensify a millionfold because it will be undefiled. It will be pure. Number two, the works, the ministry, and the fruit that is done here in the Lord's name and by His Spirit, those things will not pass away. Every time you read the apostles' books of the Bible, every time you read scripture that Paul wrote, his reward, his works are not passing away. God is accounting them to Him in heaven. Does that make sense to you? Every time you read the book of James, Jesus looks at James and there's more jewels going in that guy's crown. It doesn't stop. Those things are eternal. When I give, when the E-team gives somebody a cup of cold water, it says, in Jesus' name, you know, Jesus did this for me, here you go. That doesn't pass away. That translates into heaven. Okay? That doesn't stop once you get to heaven. Those things continue. And when that person gets there and gives the testimony before the Lord, that guy over there, he's the one that gave me the water. It goes on. It's eternal because those things are eternal. Your works, your ministry, every word Pastor Mark preaches behind this pulpit, every time he yells at you, you know, that is going to go all the way into heaven. It continues. It's eternal. Anytime that the conviction of the Holy Ghost comes from this pulpit, from a speaker, that keeps going into eternity. It doesn't pass away. Those rewards keep coming. And when we get there, we'll remember. Because the Lord will bring to remembrance the fruit. Because he says, how will you be judged? But by your works. He said, I was in prison and you came to me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Enter in, blessed are my Father, for the kingdom prepared for you. See, in heaven he still remembers. It goes on. So that's number two. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive the things done through the body, according to which he has done, whether good or bad. And the king shall answer and say to them, truly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Those that you sow precious seed into, your kids. You sow the precious seed of the word into your kids. Christ remembers. He will be in heaven. That testimony, when your kids stand before the Lord and say, I remember watching my mommy read the Bible. I remember. I remember when she would read scripture. I remember her weeping over the word. I remember that. I remember her telling me about the word and about Christ. That's eternal. That doesn't pass away. The kingdom of God is beautiful. It shall not pass away. It will be seen and remembered in heaven. Your faithfulness, your obedience to the Lord will not pass away. Translates into eternity. Number three, your revelation, your understanding, and spiritual truth that Christ gives you about his word and himself, those don't pass away. Those translate into heaven. You might be thinking that's not very important. That's not a big one. I'm going to show you why it's big. I'll say it in one sentence. Think of the thief on the cross and think of the unsaved. What would they give to have the revelation you have when they enter into eternity? They give anything. They'd spend their whole life in torment and torture just to have the knowledge that you have when they enter into eternity. And what God's instilled into you and me will be in us when we get there. You're not going to forget the scriptures that God showed you, enlightened you, and spoke to you when you get there. You're not going to forget the revelation that he gave you on this side of himself that helped you through a dark time, or that spoke to you, or that you used to minister to somebody else. Because it's all eternal. It's all based on the word. Revelation God gave you. He entrusted you with that jewel of himself. When you get there, you'll understand fully. And it'll be intensified. It'll explode into understanding. But that also will not pass away. Some people have such a limited understanding of the Lord. Limited understanding of the man Jesus Christ. And God gives you understanding. He gives you truth to help you think of the perspective of heaven, of your eternal home, of what's important. Because it's going to be worth it all, isn't it? Every price you pay. You can't put a price on the truth or understanding God's given you. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. The things God has prepared for those that love him. If you're not there yet, he's still preparing something for you. Still being prepared. When you get there, I can't even describe it. I had a brother in the Lord. He was a man of God. I mean, this is the guy that everybody went to, you know? He's the spiritual guru at Bible school. Just a small little fella, you know? Nothing to look at, but he was a powerhouse, and everybody knew it. We were really good friends, and I haven't talked to him in years. But, you know, we would spend the night in each other's rooms and talk all night about the Lord. And he prayed one time. He told me about this. He said he prayed one time. He said, "Lord, show me your glory. Just like Moses, show me your glory." And when this guy prayed, God heard. And he's praying, "God, show me your glory. I want to see your glory." And he went to bed that night. He told me about this dream. He went to sleep. And he says in his dream, he was laying on his back, just in his room. And he goes, "I don't really know if I was awake or if I was asleep." He said there was this little pinhole of a light in the corner of his room. And it just kept getting bigger and brighter and brighter. He said it got so bright it surpassed the sun. So I couldn't look at it, and it filled my whole room. And it was so bright it hurt my eyes. And he said it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and then it started to envelop me. And he said I just started weeping. And I just felt the Holy Spirit. I felt the Lord. And he said it just enveloped me, this light. It just kept coming after him. And he was enveloped in this light. And he woke up and he was sobbing when he woke up. A few hours after he prayed for God to show him his glory. And he didn't tell a lot of people about that dream. But I was like, man, you know, if that's what it's like here. If you ask God, "Show me your glory here," and something like that, the Holy Spirit can be like, "All right, I'll give you a little taste." Amazing. Powerful. "To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us." It gives you hope above all you can ask or think, according to the power that lives inside of you and me. The kingdom of God is within us. My mortal capacity, people, I'm not able to imagine. I'm not able to understand what heaven will be like. I can't understand what He's prepared, but I know it's going to be worth it. It's more than I could ever want. It's more than I could ever need. It's more than I could ever wish or conjure in my mind to be experienced or to have. We spend so much time and energy on things that fulfill us here, things that give us some sort of like a temporal buzz here, stuff that's entertaining and stuff that we think is important or that we like to do, and compared to what's coming. Incredible. The things I feel, they're heavy and hard and depressing, will be no more. They're all going to pass away. Pleasure that you know, pleasure that you've experienced, will pass away. And the most pure, fulfilling, exciting pleasure of being in the Lord's presence, such satisfaction will fill your heart and soul. Pleasure is not a bad thing. There's many pure pleasures in this world. You have to eat to live, right? That's pure pleasure for me. But there's going to be pleasure, and it won't be described, because it's going to be pure. It'll be based on the Word, and it'll be totally undefiled pleasure just to be in His presence. It'll be exciting. Every day is going to be an adventure. I don't even know if we'll know what a day is. But every day will be an adventure. It'll be a new experience. It'll be something real, age-long, accelerating. Your knowledge is going to increase. Your understanding of Jesus is going to just, it's going to skyrocket. It's going to be, you know, a graph that just keeps going up at a, you know, straight up in the air. It'll never stop. Eternity, forever. Your understanding and your experience of Christ will continue to grow. He's limitless, so it'll never end. There will be no desire for anything else. No more desire for anything other than Jesus. You won't have to strive for that desire to want Him or to be with Him. It's how you're made. It will be how you're designed. Your makeup will change. Nothing that defiles will be there. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 11. This is John speaking again. It says, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands and thousands. And they were saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the sea, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them,' I heard them saying, 'Blessing, honor, glory, power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him who lives forever and ever." Turn to Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. "After these things I heard a loud voice and a great multitude of heaven saying, 'Alleluia! Salvation and glory, honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He's judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And He's avenged on her the blood of the servant shed by her.' Again they said, 'Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever.' And the 24 elders of the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, 'Amen, Alleluia.' Then a voice came from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both great and small.' And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of a mighty thunderings, saying, 'Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns.'" What can be compared with what is to come? If you really believe it, if you really know where you're going, it'll put it in perspective for you in the light of anything you're experiencing and going through. If He's that powerful, how much easier is it for Him to see what ails you, to help you on this side? God has never planned a single failure for you. When you look in the face of the Lamb of God, you will not regret your decision to strive for His purposes. There are many hardships and suffering we endure for earthly rewards. It cannot compare to suffering and enduring what He has here to enter into heaven. In the light of glory, what sin is not worth going to the throne of grace to find help in the time of need? What sin is worth meditating on or acting upon in the light of glory? That's what God uses with me. When I start to say something I shouldn't, put something I shouldn't before my eyes, or think a way I shouldn't, is it worth it? Is it that worth it to you? To spend time with sin. Blood aside. Aside from the wonderful thing Jesus did for us and the cross, and aside the fact that it's judged and it's evil. Just looking at heaven, is it worth it? To spend your time on that? To focus on those things? What a waste of time. What a slap in His face when He prepares glory for us. It will be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all. Do you think you'll wish for something here that you didn't have in this life when you're there? You think you'll get there and be like, "Man, I wish I had a Big Mac." Absolutely not. "Man, I wish I had this. I wish I went through life with this amenity or with a mansion." I said that the other day. I was like, you know, my mind wanders. 10 hours alone every night. Thinking, I wonder what it would be like to have a mansion. I just feel like the Lord said, "I already have one for you. It's waiting for you." I was like, I forgot about that scripture. says he has a mansion prepared for you. He has a mansion for you in heaven. And I was like, Lord, forgive me. I was like, give me a cardboard box here because I want the mansion there. I don't want it the other way around. I don't want all my rewards and blessings here and get there and be like ashes up to my ankles, hold the door open for everybody else. I maybe have told you this story before, but I have a brother in the Lord, and he said, man, when I get there, I'll be the door. I'll be the guy holding the door open for you. And I said, I'm not content with that. Not satisfied with that. It's not pride. It's not. I just cannot think that God has called you and me to struggle and strive for Him and have purpose. And He called you for a specific purpose. He has a specific aim for your life. Specific job for you to do on this side. And if you're faithful, you're not going to hold the door open in heaven. You're faithful. You walk with Him. You strive. And you go through whatever you have. There's torture coming. You just heard this morning. You know, and that's one of my points. It's about persecution. It'll be worth it all. You get there and you look at Him and say, this is worth a million lifetimes of torture. That's what this was worth. I'll take 1,000 lifetimes of the most gruesome torture your mind can conjure up, and that's what it'll be worth. I'd do it 1,000,000 times over to gain heaven. And every person in hell is going to have the same testimony. I'd have gone through anything. As they begin to spin deeper and deeper in despair and deeper in cursing God and deeper in unbelief. Till there'll be such a state in hell, you offer them heaven and they'll turn it down and they'll curse you. They won't want it because they'll be so debased in hell. They won't even understand what you offer them. They'll hate everything in their misery. And you'll see Him and you'll say, I should have given more. I should have done more. I should have went farther. I should have gave it all up. Let it go. Let it go. It's not worth it. Heaven. Think about heaven. It's not neglected. It's just not talked about a lot. Amazing. I close with this. Surrounded by those you love and a great cloud of heavenly witnesses, you will see the splendor of heaven and you will see the Lamb of God. A splendor that you can't even imagine, and you probably won't even be able to take in while you're there. A splendor that I would insult to try and describe to you. But you will look at those on your right, and you will look at those on your left, and you will say, friend, it was worth it all. That's encouraging, but it's sobering, you know? For me it is. It's so encouraging, it gives me so much hope, but it's a rebuke to what I focus on. It's not eternal. So be encouraged. I love to think of it as it's your inevitable home. And you have a secure journey. Your journey is secure. I'm not Calvinist, but your journey is secure. In Christ, secure. Take you all the way. He'll take you all the way if you trust Him. And you can count on heaven. Count on it. And let me clarify something I said. Let me correct it. When you get to heaven and you have less jewels in your crown than somebody else, you think you're going to care? You are going to be rejoicing for that person that has a crown full of jewels. You'll be dancing and doing backflips, saying, way to go, dude. You will. You won't think, oh, look at my little crown. Because you'll have gained Him. You'll have the same testimony everybody else has, Christ. They're not going to have anything more than you because you stand right there. And He's omnipotent, right? He's omnipresent, right? So am I have to share Him with you? I better not. I'm not going to share Him with you. He could be everywhere at once. So I'm gonna have a private audience with him at the same time you have a private audience with him. That's what I look forward to. Because it says there's a myriad, and there's thousands of thousands and tens of thousands times tens of thousands. And I'm like, so there's a big group of people praising him. I'm not going to share him. I mean that. Hear my heart. I want to know him. I want to spend some time with him. Just me and him. I want to talk to him. You'll be able to. You will. Because you can't even imagine it. I try to explain it to you. Having a private audience with him, it may not even be that way. You may be having a private audience with him while you're in the midst of everybody else and he's standing up there, in addition to having a private audience. I don't know. How are you supposed to know? How are you going to figure it out? You won't think the way you think. You won't feel the way you feel. I'll go on all night. Talk to heaven all night. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. And God, I just thank you for the promise of heaven. You'll be eternally minded. And God, I've heard it said that you don't want to be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. But I disagree with that. God, I don't want to be so earthly minded, I'm no heavenly good. God, let us focus on heaven and eternity. What's important? And that it'll be worth it all. Any trial, any temptation, it'll all be worth it. It'll all be worth it. It'll all be worth it. Everything I go through will be worth it. Anything I endure, it'll be worth it. And it's so short. Come to Him. You weak, you heavy laden, you burdened, come to Him. Recommit your life. Give it to Him afresh. Give it to Him anew. Heaven weighs in the balance. The heaven promised. So many that aren't going. If your life is destined for heaven, if our life is focused on heaven, we're going to pull people in with us. God, let us have that mindset. We focus upon you and your purpose and everything you speak to us in obedience. It's inevitable. We will pull people into the kingdom with us. They will see you in us. Thank you for the revelation of heaven and your written word to us. Thank you for encouraging us, Father, and not condemning us. Thank you for your blood and your salvation and your forgiveness, God. Thank you for your grace and your patience and your mercy that's new every morning and endures forever. It says that your love endures forever. Your mercy endures forever. It never ends. When we enter into glory and see your face, your love and your mercy, your truth, your holiness, your righteousness, and your justice will never end. It will endure for all generations, and we'll join the chorus. We will say, Alleluia. Glory and honor, power, wisdom, omnipotent God, you reign, you own it all. For all things were created for you and by you, and in you all things consist. For in you we live and breathe and we have our being. And you are all we ever wanted. Anything I ever desired will pass away when we see you. Lord, we just thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.